Life has its problems, but we've got solutions.
Hi, I'm Leslie, and for Mother's Day, I'm going to give you a mom life hack. When traveling as a family, especially with young kids, it's important to pack well and use as few bags as possible to save money. I'm going to show you how to do that today. So the way I do this is I lay my shirt flat, and then I fold it into thirds like this. And between each fold, I smooth it out like this. And then I'm going to fold it into fifths. So I'll fold it four times. One, two, three, four. When your shirts are folded this way, you can get at least twice as many in the bag, and you can see all of your shirts at one time.
All right, I'll admit that wasn't that bad. Because it's Mother's Day, I'll cut you some slack. But I think I have a better way. So hold on, I'll be right back.
2,000 years later.
See, I got more clothes on my body than you do in that bag. Talk about saving money. Could I be wearing any more clothes?
Life has its problems, but we've got solutions.
We're having fun with this Proverbs series, Practical Wisdom, and I think the team has come up. You're learning stuff with these videos, so that's good. You have some gems to take home with you. We have been in this series on Proverbs, which is practical wisdom for daily life. And we serve this God who knew what life was like. It's not far removed, but who actually gives us scripture that talks about what real life is like, the real things that we go through, and how to live well. And so that's the series that we've been on. And you'll notice that that in Proverbs, there are so many different themes. There are themes that are talking about being diligent and being a hard worker. And so you'll see that in Proverbs. If you were to read through Proverbs, you know, you can read a chapter a day, and then you would read through all of Proverbs every month if you did it that way and just hear God's practical wisdom. And you'll see these themes pop up. So you'd see a theme of being diligent and a hard worker and not lazy, right? And you'll see a theme of handling your finances well, handling them appropriately and wisely, but with generosity, and staying out of debt. And you'll see that theme carried, and it won't just happen. You'll be a couple of chapters later and be like, didn't I just read that one? And it's similar, maybe from a different angle, but Proverbs just keep coming at you like waves, because you know we need to be reminded of these things over and over. And so you'll see a theme in Proverbs of having a positive sort of non-complaining attitude to watch how you speak and talk and look at the world around you. You'll get this reminder, and you'll see in Proverbs a key theme of living a life of integrity, to live a life of integrity no matter what you do, and that's the one we're gonna. That's what we're going to look at today. So would you pray with me as we open the scripture together? God, speak to us. We're your people. We want to hear from your word. And not just hear it, but we want to understand it, Father. We want to really get it. And we want to be people of your word that live our lives according to it. So would you help us to put it into practice every day? We pray this in your holy name. Amen. I don't know. Do you guys remember cash? Any of you remember cash? It came before credit cards and debit cards. You would go to the store or something, bring these little green pieces of paper, hand it, and they'd give you change. My kids have never experienced that, but some of you remember back in the day. I remember distinctly being a kid, and my mom would buy something at the store, and you get change. Sometimes your change is right. Most of the time, but sometimes your change would be wrong. And if you know it was a little bit short, you got short change, you would definitely go back. But I remember my mom, we would go all the way to the store, have to be at the store for forever. I was like, oh, could not stand that. Store is not my place. We'd go all the way home, we'd get home, and she'd find out that the change was wrong, and it would be in our favor. They would have given us too much change back. Not like millions of dollars, just like a few cents too much. much back. You know what my mom would do? I remember this so clearly. She would put us back in that stinking car. We would drive back to the store, and we would tell them that they gave us the wrong change. They wouldn't even understand. They'd be like, what? What's the, you know, you gave me the wrong change. She would give the change back even when it was a few cents in our favor. I'm like, Mom, no one cares. We made out. Like, let's just keep that, right? But not my mom, not some of your moms. My mom would look at me and just go, well, that's not right, right? Like that's just not right. That's not what we do. That's not the right thing to do. And that's a great biblical picture of integrity, right? Integrity is doing the right thing, the right thing to do. Like living in every way according to God's laws and rules, treating others the way that God would have us to treat them, is really doing the right thing. But not just the right thing like publicly, right? Not just the right thing when others know, but doing the right thing every time. Like even when no one else knows. You're driving back to the store to return a few cents because it's just right. And that's this biblical concept of integrity. That we do the right thing and we always do the right thing. We don't compartmentalize and live one way when people can see us and when people know. And live a different way, a little bit differently, if no one knows about it, or if we're in a different system or setting. We always do the right thing. When I was in college, there was a well-known pastor that wrote a book that really impacted me, and a lot of his ministry really impacted me. And he wrote this book called Character. Who you are, it's called Character, Who You Are When No One Is Looking. And I always just love that definition, right? This idea of character, who you are when no one sees you, when no one knows. This is this idea of integrity, of a life lived the same way, always doing the right thing, no matter what, even when no one sees you. That's this beautiful picture. And that you would live that way even when things were going poorly, or even when things didn't seem to be to your advantage, you would hold together even under pressure. That's this concept of integrity, that you could hold integrity even when the pressure is on. You hold integrity even when things seem like they would benefit you in a different way, but it's not the right thing to do. Who you are when no one's looking, that idea comes up consistently all through Proverbs. So here's what we're going to do today. We're going to take a look at several, because it's one of these themes that weaves its way through. And I hope that you're reading through Proverbs and you're seeing this theme come up again and again, and it begins to sink in and you start to take heart. So we're going to look, we're just going to kind of run through several different Proverbs. One's in chapter 10, verse 9. In chapter 10, 9 says this, whoever walks in integrity walks securely, but whoever takes crooked paths will be found out. This biblical concept that if we walk the right way, if we're taking the right steps, if we're doing the right thing, you're secure. You're okay. It's going to be okay. Even if it doesn't seem great right now, it's going to be okay. But the flip side of that is that eventually, if you walk the crooked path, if you stray, eventually it will come out. Now, it may come out publicly. People might find out about it. It might come out in a tragic way that really, you know, impacts your family and people around you. Could come out with in a legal way, right? It'll come out. But for others of you, it'll come out just in your own heart and soul, right? That it will continue to bubble up. And if you live with a secret, a place where you lost integrity and you live with that, you feel the pressure and the tension of that, right? Eventually that starts to bubble up. And down the line, it impacts relationships and it impacts you. And so the biblical principle is live walking in God's way. Because eventually, that shortcut that you felt like was a shortcut, well, it'll come to the surface. Let's keep going. Chapter 28, verse 18 says this: the one whose walk is blameless is kept safe, but the one whose ways are perverse will fall into the pit. Now, the word that's used in the Old Testament, that the word for integrity, same word that's used for blameless, just translated different ways. And if you were to open up and read different translations, you might see those words interchanged, and you'd see that word with integrity. And so the concept is the same. The one who's walking is blameless. It's walking with integrity. That's the way to safety. But the one who falls off, perverse in this text, will fall into the pit. Like the Bible wants you to know, not only will others find you out, but the chief way to destruction. Like the way to stumble and fall is to not pay attention to the way that you're walking. Now, I want you to catch something. It talks about walking with integrity. It talks about walking blamelessly. It does not say walking with perfection, right? If the biblical concept is not one of perfection. The biblical concept is one of staying on the path. And when you err, because you will. It talks about admitting that, to confess. And you'll see that all through Proverbs. To take wise counsel, even when it's difficult counsel. To confess when you've strayed from the path and walk the wrong direction. What it means to walk with integrity isn't to be perfect. What it means to walk with integrity is when you stray, correct. Correct your path. We'll keep going. The next one is this. Chapter 20, verse 7. It says, "The righteous lead blameless lives. Blessed are their children after them." The righteous lead blameless lives. In other words, the righteous lead lives of integrity. And blessed are their children. If you want your children to get something, you can't just tell them about it, right? What Scripture tells us, what wisdom is written to us from the book of Proverbs, is that it's actually how you live, not just what you say. And of course, your kids, they see everything, they know. It brings fear because as a pastor, you know, I have to get up and say a lot of things. And I'll get up and teach from the Scripture, and I'll talk about how we're to live our life. The problem is my kids are at home. They know how I really live, right? They know what it's really like. You see, they see. And your kids do too. And not just your kids, your biological kids, but the kids in this church and the next generation around us and those that you have impact. If you want them to be blessed, then you need to live a life of integrity. So if you want your kids to be honest, you want the next generation to be honest, don't just talk about being honest. Don't just say how back in your day, boy, the punishment would have been thick if I wasn't. You know, I like to tell those stories, but that doesn't work. You know what works? Them seeing you be honest even when it's difficult. Them seeing you be honest even when it's something that you don't want to admit. Them watching that generation and watching you live a life of honesty, even painful honesty, will bless the next generation. You want the next generation to be passionate about a relationship with God, passionate about their relationship with Jesus? You can't just say, hey, you should go to church. Let them see your relationship with Jesus. Let them see how your faith impacts everything you do and the decisions that you make. Let them see you spending quiet time with the Father. Let them see it. It seeps in. This is what the proverb tells us. You want your kids to be generous? Let them see how you actually handle money. Like, let them see how it works for you and your family. You want the next generation to be one that values money appropriately because it's all God's and handles and cares for those who are in need and one that has generosity, then you have to live a way of generosity, giving to people who will not and who will never benefit you. And they need to see it. They need to see it in place. Proverbs 28:6 says it this way. It says, better the poor whose walk is blameless, right? Better the poor whose walk has integrity than the rich whose ways are perverse. And scripture also uses for that same word, crooked. Some translations you'll see crooked. Better the poor whose walk is blameless than the rich whose ways are perverse. See, scripture says your integrity, this actually matters. In fact, it matters so much, it's worth more than getting ahead. Because what you see right now as getting ahead is a limited perspective. You don't have God's perspective on this. So God's given us a straight way, and he says, if you live that way, that's better than getting ahead. It's better than gaining wealth if you have to do it. Now, I read this, and I was like, do you have to be poor and live a straight way? You know, is that that's not the thing. You can have wealth. What scripture's saying is do that in a straight way. Do it with integrity. Live according to God's way. Here's one more. It says this in chapter 11, verse 3. It says, the integrity of the upright, it guides them. But the unfaithful are destroyed by their duplicity. Other translations say destroyed by their crookedness. The integrity of the upright guides them. But the unfaithful, well, they're destroyed by their crookedness. There's two metaphors that you see. They both come out there, and they come out throughout all of Proverbs as it talks about integrity. The first one is the principle of the path, right? And you see this metaphor of a path. So he's talking about walking in straight ways versus walking in crooked ways. And this idea of the path is that we should be walking in God's way. We should be following God. The New Testament actually picks up this theme and talks about it in terms of sin, right? And in the New Testament, it talks about what does it mean to be a follower of Jesus? And it talks about it in path language. It talks about the way, living in the way of Jesus, that you're following Jesus. And it talks about sin as getting off the path, as moving off the mark. Now, what we see all through scripture is that it's not about, the idea isn't that you will always be perfectly straight in the ways that you walk. In fact, we see over and over and over again in scripture that's not the case at all. All of us veer off the path. The question is, what do you do then? Do you recorrect? The biblical word for that is to repent. That word repent sounds really scary, but all it means is to change course, to turn direction. And so when you get off the path, even a little bit, if you lose integrity, even a bit, do you adjust? Do you pay attention? Do you listen to wise counsel? Because even just a little bit, if you don't do anything about it, you suddenly become way off the mark. Cammie and I were in Michigan last week for a mentor. We were visiting a mentor of ours in ministry. And so we got to go up to Michigan, and we got to spend a couple days over on the western shore of Michigan by Lake Michigan. And that is beautiful out there. The lake is so huge, you would think you're at the ocean. You know, there's beaches there, and you can't see across it, right? And there's waves, and it just looks like, you know, it's as far as you can see. In fact, the city of Chicago is 40 to 50 miles across from over there. And we were just standing there, and Cammie said, does anybody ever swim across this? And I was like, I don't know, you know? So we looked it up to see, and several people have, and it's obviously a big deal. It's not easy to do. But I read the story of one of the guys early on to do it. He set off to swim. He mapped out a course. It was 45 miles across Lake Michigan he was going to swim in. He had a little team that was going to help him do it. And he set out to swim, and he started swimming, and he got just a little bit off course. Not big time off course. He didn't just hook a right. He just a little bit. And he should have, just at the pace that he was going, you know, after so many hours, he should have been to the other side. But he had started just a little off course. He never corrected. And what was supposed to be a 45-mile swim across. Now, 45 is pretty good. Let me just say that, all right? 45 is pretty, that's pretty good. What should have been a 45-mile cross ended up being 65 miles, right? Just a little off course. All it takes is like 1 degree. But you're going that far, you end up in a whole nother area. The question is not whether you will get off course, because you will. The question is, what do you do about it? Do you turn back? Do you redirect? That's the principle of the path that the book of Proverbs wants to teach you. But the second metaphor that you see in this passage is one of posture, right? So the integrity of the upright guides them, but the unfaithful are destroyed by their, and this was, says duplicity, and another place is translated crookedness. What you see is this idea of posture upright, and then versus what's often used here in throughout Proverbs, the idea of crookedness means being bent. And so it's not just bent paths, but it's a posture of being upright or bent. The idea of an upright posture throughout Scripture, especially in Proverbs, is one who stands upright, who's walking in the way of the Lord, and who can see with perspective into the distance. Versus someone who's bent, who's crooked, who's bent over and looks just right in front of them, and all they see are the things right in front of them. And as I think about that image that Proverbs gives us, I mean, how often do I make a poor decision because of what I thought I wanted right now? Because of the immediacy of what was right there in front of me? How often did I make a poor decision because of an impulse rather than looking off in the distance? That book, Character, Who You Are When No One's Looking, one of the main principles of that, I still remember from college, one of the main principles was the idea of delayed gratification, right? That so often I just make a decision based on immediate gratification, but a biblical principle, one from the Proverbs, is one of delayed gratification. I have an upright posture so I can see where I'm going, and I don't make decisions for what I want right now. I make decisions for who I want to be in the future. I don't make decisions for my family just because they're all, you know, they feel like they need something right at this moment. I want to make decisions for my family for who God wants us to be long way down the road. I make decisions based on delayed gratification. And that's the picture that we get from Proverbs. Living with integrity means upright posture, looking down the road, deciding for the long distance of who God is calling us to be. Now, everybody wants to live a life of integrity, right? And I mean, as you hear these words in Proverbs, you're like, yeah, of course. And even if you know that you don't always have integrity, you're always, you know, you kind of usually you have integrity, but sometimes you cut a corner just a little bit. But even if you know that, you want the people around you to have integrity, right? I mean, you definitely want your boss to have integrity, right? Even if you don't quite your boss better, or if you're not quite fully with integrity, your daughter's fiance better have integrity, right? That person, we all want that. We want our neighbor to have integrity. We all get that. Problem is, the moment I mentioned that we would be talking about integrity today, so many of you, your mind went to the moment when you didn't. Your mind just goes to that moment of that decision that you made, or that pattern or behavior that you find yourself stuck in. And for so many of you, is a moment that maybe hasn't even come out yet, and you just carry that with you, wondering if people will know, second-guessing yourself. So many of us carry that moment or pattern of behavior where we did not have integrity, where we didn't live the same way on the outside as on the inside, where we didn't live the same way in church as we did in our Monday through Friday, And we carry that. In fact, for many of us, we feel like it defines us, if not with the people around us, at least with God. And even begins to name us sometimes. You know, the pastor that wrote the book that so impacted me when I was in college about 5 years ago had to step down from his ministry because of it came out that he is having inappropriate relationships with women on his staff. And it crushed me, right? I was like, what? You wrote the book on this. And so often happens, it happens to so many. It happens in some small way to each one of us. We get the idea that we want to live with integrity, but the reality of actually living that out can become, it feels like almost impossible. You know, the old Reformed theologians, those are the guys you see in paintings with big beards. They have good beards, those old Reformed theologians. They used to talk about the Old Testament, and they would say the Old Testament shows us just how far we are from what God's best for us is. You know, another way I've heard this talked about is the me I want to be. I'm so far away from the me that I want to be. Those old Reformed theologians would say that what the Old Testament does is it points out to us our need for grace. Every one of us feels that when we read these Proverbs. We want to live a life of integrity. We should. But we know we don't always match up. In the New Testament, there's this great story where it's in John chapter 5, where Jesus is walking by the pool of Bethesda. It was in Jerusalem area there. And this pool was known for its healing properties. And people thought that when the water stirred, it stirred every once in a while. When the water stirred, if you were the first one in, you would be healed. And Jesus walked by and he met a man that was laying there, couldn't walk. And he seemed to be discouraged. And he found out that the man had been laying there a while. And when I read this passage, it got me thinking about our own stories. Because I find myself in places where I wish I had all that integrity. I wish I lived on the straight path, but my path got crooked and I got off. And I find that like it happens and it's not easy to fix. And I get myself into a rut and it feels like I can be in that rut for a long time, sometimes not even trying to correct it. And so Jesus talked to this man. He asked him about going into the water, and he found out that man had been laying there 38 years. 38 years. You talk about being stuck. And then he asked this profound question. He said, do you want to be made well? The old King James translated it, do you want to be made whole? That's the same concept as we've been looking at as integrity. That's the real definition of that word in the Old Testament for integrity is to be complete. And basically, Jesus asked this man that same question. Do you want to be made complete? And he said, well, I can't. You know, every time the water stirs, somebody gets up and runs in before me. I just can't get there. And he's been stuck in this place for 38 years. And Jesus tells him, get up, stand up, take your mat and walk. It's this beautiful picture. Jesus heals him. And when he heals him, he stands up. And I think about that proverb of being upright and being able to see forward. He calls him to uprightness and he heals him and he sends him off. It's this beautiful moment. It's this beautiful recognition that what we most need is grace. And it's given to him. God, who knows that he strayed and walked off the path, still gives him grace. He didn't have to earn it. He didn't have to fix himself. He didn't say, get yourself together. God, Jesus just gave him grace. But it wasn't grace that was just about forgiveness. It was grace that comes with the power for change. He healed him so that he could walk upright and see in the distance. It's this unbelievable moment. But then just a couple verses later, we see that Jesus ends up in the temple area, and this guy comes walking through. Things aren't going great for Jesus. They found out that he healed somebody on the Sabbath, and that was a no-no. And even though the guy was healed, people were upset. You're not supposed to do that on the Sabbath day, you know? And so they were giving Jesus a hard time. And this guy comes walking through. He's healed. He comes walking through. And Jesus grabs him and gives him this one little bit of encouragement. He says to him, "Now stop sinning," before something, you know, before things go poorly, right? He goes, like think about that proverb, before you fall in the pit. Jesus sees him. He had already given him grace. And he says, "Now because of this grace, because you're healed, change course. Out of this grace, correct, repent, admit where your brokenness is, submit to God's whole healing on your body, and correct." This is the way that we want to live. We're people that know living with integrity, oh, that's the way we should be. But we're also people that know that we carry with us the secrets of places where we did not have integrity. And we have this God who knows us, who looks at us and tells us, "You can be healed. You can be given grace. Now get up and walk in the straight path." Would you pray with me? God, we thank you today. I thank you for the moms that have been in each one of our lives, those biological moms and those who have just impacted us, those that that taught us to live with integrity, not just by telling us, but by showing us. God, I'm so grateful for the moms today. God, pray for every woman in this room that you would bless her as she impacts the people around her. God, that women in this room would live full of your grace and your Holy Spirit. And God, I pray for each one of us, Father, that you would meet us in our place, even if we've been sitting there for 38 years, that you would meet us and that we might hear your words of grace today. God, that you would change us and send us on your path. God, I pray that for me. I pray that for each person in this room. I pray all of this in your powerful name. Amen.